Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure to have you with me and for me to be able to hang out with you and talk about our small businesses, mine and yours. Yeah, I've got one just like you. I'm a small business owner just exactly like you. Well, okay, not exactly like you. My business is a little different from yours probably, but basically there's not much difference. We all still have to make payroll. We all have to plan where our business is going. We have to buy low and sell high. We all have to do all those things, don't we? We have to hire people and manage them, and sometimes we have to let them go. All those things that you and I all have to do, just like you do. Tom Travis understands all that. He is managing partner of Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg, which is a law firm that specializes in helping people do business overseas to do global business. He's also the chairman of Sandler and Travis Advisory Service. I think I said that right. And he's the author of the book, Doing Business Anywhere. Tom Travis, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Did I get all those company names right?
You got them close enough.
Tom, I want to... Of course, my audience knows that for more than a decade now, I've been on the air talking about encouraging small business owners to raise their vision just beyond their traditional horizons and to imagine what's going on outside of our borders. Now, for some small business owners, Tom, doing business globally could just mean doing it in the next state. You know, I mean, I'd be happy with some people if they would just do that. But globally really means out of this country. And when somebody hit me with this statistic that 95% of all the people that we can do business with in the world don't live in the United States, that's a strong statistic, isn't it?
It's the truth, and that's why the trend has been that way since ancient times. People are going across borders trying to do better business, more opportunities, looking for those opportunities, and today it's almost a requirement for we Americans to think globally, both to pick up ideas, to introduce our products in new markets, and to look for products that we can introduce back into our market.
Trade, ladies and gentlemen, is the future. In my opinion, Tom, trade is the future for peace on Earth. It's the future for all Earthlings to do better. It's the future, in my opinion, for the United States to do better. I really do believe what Frederick Bastiat said 150-something years ago, when goods cross borders, armies don't. I believe that.
Well, that's definitely true. When you've got a commercial stake in a relationship across the world, it certainly means that other things, social interaction occurs as well, and the likelihood of wars and other sorts of disputes is diminished.
When citizens in different countries do business together, they're not likely to hate each other, are they?
We hope not, and we think that's true. Absolutely, that's true. And trade has really been the way which different cultures interact in a peaceful way, in a profitable way, in a way which enriches both sides.
Are you worried about the political climate right now? I'm concerned. The Democrats are not typically trade supporters. Unfortunately, the Republicans don't seem to have any backbone for it. They seem to be rolling over. I'm really concerned about where our country's going with regard to trade. What do you think?
Well, I am too. And of course, the issue that's come up now at the top of the political agenda is the Colombian Free Trade Agreement.
Yeah.
And as many of your listeners may know, and I know you know, we negotiated a comprehensive free trade agreement with Colombia. And we need to get congressional approval of that agreement before it can be implemented. And the Colombian agreement has become a focal point of frustration for people who are disappointed with the results of international trade, and has become a political football in this
season. That's exactly right.
If there ever was a country that deserved to have the free trade agreement, with the United States and a leader, President Uribe from Colombia, that deserved that agreement, it would be Colombia, because this is a country that's winning the war against terrorism
and drugs and transporting of drugs.
Well,
Tom, that is so well said. I'm glad to hear you say it like that. That's exactly how I feel, folks. I'm just going to say it like it is, ladies and gentlemen. The Democrats, and you know I don't take sides usually here on the show, but the Democrats right now are holding this deal up. They're playing politics with this deal. And if there ever was a courageous person on planet Earth right now, Tom, in my opinion, is President Uribe in Colombia.
There's no question about it. But to put it in perspective, trade has always been controversial and political from the founding of this country, stamp tax and so forth and so on, through today. And ironically, the parties have switched sides over the last 100 years. It used to be the other way.
Exactly.
But with respect to that, there really is a strong bipartisan support for international trade. These issues sometimes get caught up in the issue of the day, which of course is a presidential election. The Democrats are positioning themselves. The Republicans are trying to position themselves, and it's become a real political football. We're hopeful that this thing will pass, because we have other free trade agreements lined up
right behind
Colombia.
That's right.
And they're important too, with South Korea, which would be a major agreement.
Things are warming up between our country and that country, no question about it. You know, a lot of people misunderstand. They confuse trade with progress, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. A lot of people believe that a reason we've lost a lot of jobs in the United States, a lot of those 20th century jobs, some of them were 19th century jobs. The reason we've lost some of those jobs, they think it's because of globalization, because of trade. But when I remind them, But they kind of changed their mind a little bit, I hope, when I remind people that the country that's lost more manufacturing jobs in the last 8 or 10 years than any other country on planet Earth is China, not the United States. And the reason they lost those jobs is because of technology, not because of trade.
It's technology, and also, look, the Chinese have huge internal issues and questions about how they're going to govern, how they're going to manage this growing economy. But the also thing, what they also have is they have 20 million additional people get added to that population every year.
Exactly, exactly. And folks, guess what? That's 20 million new customers for you and me. There's a reason why you and I need to be, we're in the minority, Americans. We need to be doing trade. And small business owners, there's never been a better time for you to think about doing business outside of this country. 20 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Tom Travis is our guest. We'll be right back.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time.
We're back. It's the G3 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. And we're visiting with our good friend Tom Travis, managing partner with Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg. And Tom, give us that website, please. Tom, give us your website, please.
Yeah, it's strtrade.com.
strtrade.com. The book is called Doing Business Anywhere, and that's available wherever books are sold, right?
Yes, sir.
Folks, sure there's is. A wonderful there's a lot of wonderful sections in this book, chapters in this book. Maybe one chapter in here is worth the price of the book and the time to read the whole thing, and that's chapter 4, Maintaining High Ethical Standards. And I want to talk about that in a minute, Tom. But before we do that, I want to touch on something you and I were just touching on just off the air for a minute, and that is this business of displaced workers. The United States, in my opinion, needed to get its focus and its workforce focused on 21st century jobs, not 19th century jobs. There were many jobs that went to other countries. Part of it happened when NAFTA happened. Some of these jobs left and had nothing to do with NAFTA. But a lot of those jobs weren't 20th century jobs. They were 19th century jobs. The United States is not going to be competitive in the future if we aren't doing 21st century things. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I think the focus has begun. That realization has come to focus in the Congress as well. Senator Baucus, chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, is a big proponent of trade adjustment assistance, which is to provide that ongoing training in meaningful ways to our citizens who get displaced, whether it's by trade, whether it's by innovation, or whatever the situation, so that we can continue to make this workforce evolve to meet the needs of tomorrow. And
right.
I think those pieces of legislation that have wide bipartisan support in the Congress are critically important. But your main point is that the dynamics of commerce embrace change. And if we're going to have change, the workers need to be trained. Our citizens need to be trained. We need
right.
better investment in infrastructure and education so that our workers, so that our citizens will have jobs in the future and our children will have those jobs.
Absolutely, absolutely. No question about it. Tom, one of the getting down to brass tacks now, getting small business owners focusing on trade, one of the issues that we've talked about on the show before is the issue of ethics. And in your book, you have a chapter called Maintain High Ethical Standards. Now, what I've talked about on the show before, and maybe even with you, I don't remember, is the difference in the definition of ethics in the West and the definition of ethics in other parts of the world, like in the East, like in the Middle East, like in Asia. Ethics means different things in different parts of the world. So help us navigate that minefield.
It's really simple, and I'm glad you asked me the question on ethics. What's happened with respect to ethical issues is they've been interjected into the business of trade and global business. And the way that's happened is the proliferation of European and American businesses in the international sphere. We have, in essence, taken our business ethics along with us. We've done it for lots of different reasons. We've done it for reasons of transparency. We've done it for reasons of legal requirements. We've done it for reasons of shareholder pressure.
We've also been presumptuous with our ethics, haven't we?
In some cases we have, in some cases we haven't. But what's really happened here is the melding of an ethical push with the need, the business need for transparency. When you open up things, even whether it's government or business, when you open them up and people see what they are, it encourages them normally to do the right thing. What we're talking about here is corporate social responsibility, labor rights,
but
human rights.
But you sound like a Westerner, Tom, when you say that. Is what you're talking about now, that sentiment, that attitude about ethics, is that something we find in the Middle East? Do we find that in the Asian Rim?
No, we don't always find it there, but when they want to do business in the West, they understand and start embracing those things. I've seen Chinese conglomerates bring in former FDA types, food and drug people types, to test the food in the cafeterias. I've seen environmental standards improve. I've seen dye houses cleaned up in the textile business.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell you that everything is perfect, it is not. And today, this shift has taken us all the way over to things like product integrity. That's why you see the disputes and questions and concerns about lead paint in
mm-hmm.
the toys for our children.
Right.
These
right.
are part of that push. In other words, we're pushing these standards. One of our exports really is the way we do business.
And this is an important thing to export, isn't it?
I think it's critical because I think that's a link to democracy. That's
mm-hmm.
a link to accountability.
Mm-hmm. It ties to contracts, doesn't it?
It ties to contracts.
Ties to the strength
ties
of
to
contracts.
Rules.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact,
and dealing in good faith.
I've drafted contracts with these provisions are in there. In fact, today you can't. It's almost incomprehensible that an importer of clothing goods wouldn't
right.
have a contract
right.
that mentions these important issues. Starbucks exported that whole issue with the coffee.
Tom, I'm afraid we've run out of time. We just don't have enough. Didn't a lot enough time for more today, but we'll do it again real soon because you got a lot more to teach us. Folks, the book is called Doing Business Anywhere by Tom Travis. I really encourage you to find it, and it'll help you start your process about doing business overseas. Thanks for being here, Tom. Good job today.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Bye-bye.
We'll see you next time. Quick break. Right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.